Good morning, everyone here and online. As Patrick said, it's Acts 8, verses 26 to 40. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea.
Thank you, Tamsin. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone who's online as well. Please do turn to Acts chapter 8. If you don't have it in front of you, stick a hand up and someone will bring you a Bible. It'd be great to have that wonderful story in front of you as we go through it together now. And let's pray, shall we, and ask for God's help. Father in heaven, thank you for this day of celebration. Thank you for your kindness to us. Thank you for your grace. And we thank you for your word. Thank you that you are the one who reveals Jesus to us through your word and by your spirit. And so we pray that that would happen today for us in a very fresh way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. How does someone get saved? How does a person become a Christian? What are the ingredients that are there in every conversion? How is it that Maryam and Karen and Vanessa, all of whom will be arriving later on, we hope, for the second service and in between to be baptized, how is it that those three ladies have come to the point today where they find themselves at this point of professing their faith in the Lord Jesus publicly through the waters of baptism? How did they get to that point? As we'll hear later on when we hear their stories are unique. In many ways, these three ladies are very different people. And yet there are some key elements which they have in common. So what are those key things? What are those things that are true of everyone who comes to faith in the Lord Jesus? How does that work? How does someone become a Christian? How does someone get saved? Well, on this baptism day, we're going to zoom back in time and across the world to one of the very first Christian baptisms. And through this wonderful story, which Tamsin has just read for us, we discover the answer to those questions. Three things that are there, that have to be there for someone to come to faith in the Lord Jesus. Three ways in which God works to bring people like Vanessa and Karen and Maryam to himself. And the first way is this. God works by his Spirit. God works by his Spirit. The story we've read is one of Philip. Philip is one of Jesus's earliest followers. And he explains, he gets to share the good news of the Lord Jesus to someone that he meets on a journey. But what becomes very clear as you read this story is that this is not the start of this man's story, that God has already been at work in this man's life. Take a look at verse 27. He's described there as an Ethiopian eunuch. He was a man from Africa, from the southern Nile region, modern-day Sudan, or somewhere around that kind of area. And there in verse 27, he's described as an important official. The word really does mean he's very kind of high up, very senior. Think kind of prime minister sort of level. Here is a man who is not naturally a Jew. He wasn't born a Jew. And yet, verse 27, we read that he has been in Jerusalem to worship. God had been at work in his life already. Somehow and in some way, he had come into contact with the God of the Bible, and the Spirit of God had moved him and given him this desire to then travel to Jerusalem for a religious festival, for worship. He was a God-fearer. And we can see that as well in the fact that verse 28, on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. He is devouring God's word with great hunger and interest, a bit like a match, which, though small, starts a growing fire. In the same way, the Holy Spirit of God had sparked this interest in this man's life, this interest in God and his word. Perhaps you can think of a similar experience that you've had. Maybe like Karen and like Maryam, we'll hear later on that neither of them were from a Christian background. And yet they found themselves with this growing interest in the things of God, a growing desire to want to understand God's word. Perhaps you've had a similar experience that for no natural reason that you could see, you have this interest in the things of God. That's a sign of the Spirit's work in your life. Not only is the Spirit at work in this man's heart, actually the Spirit of God is at work in this man's circumstances as well. Take a look at verse 26. It is an angel of the Lord that says to Philip, go south to this road, where he then bumps into the Ethiopian eunuch. Verse 29. It was the Spirit who told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. This was not Philip's idea. It was God at work by his Spirit in the circumstances of the Ethiopian eunuch's life. And so because God is at work by his Spirit, it's actually no surprise that when Philip comes up to the chariot, he overhears the passage that the Ethiopian eunuch is reading. What is it? It's this passage from Isaiah that you can see there in verse 32 and 33. This passage which is all about Jesus and his death. It's not a coincidence. Of course, Jesus and his death on the cross in the place of sinners is absolutely central to what it means to be a Christian. And so it wasn't a kind of a happenstance. It wasn't just a random set of chances that made this occur. God was at work by his Spirit to bring this set of circumstances together in just the right way. For someone to become a Christian, God must always be at work by his Spirit. This is God's doing. Maybe those of us this morning, I'd invite you now just to take a look back in your own life, especially if you are a Christian, if you're someone who is trusting in the Lord Jesus, just take a look back and you can see the Spirit's hand in your circumstances and in your heart. You can see the way that the Spirit arranged things to draw you to himself. Vanessa later will tell of how she woke up a few months ago, woke up one morning with this conviction of sin and this overwhelming desire to do things God's way, to do things Jesus's way. That's the Spirit's work in her life. Karen later on will tell us that we are all works in progress, that God is at work in us. That's the Holy Spirit's work. Miriam's story is one of what God has done in her and for her. That's the Spirit's work. We cannot ever make ourselves good enough for God. These three who are being baptized today are not being baptized because they are particularly clever, clever enough to understand the message of Jesus. It's not because they are brave enough to stand up and be known as a follower of Jesus. The reason that Karen and Miriam and Vanessa have come to this point today is because of God and because of the fact that God, in his kindness and by his Spirit, made his light shine in their hearts to give them the light of the knowledge of the glory of God displayed in the face of Christ. It's God's work. Without God at work by his Spirit, no one can be saved. If you are a Christian here today or watching online, it's only because of the Holy Spirit's work that you are one of his people. Which of course then drives us to pray for the Spirit's work and to praise God for his work in our lives and in the lives of others. So this is the first way that God works. God in his power works in us by his Spirit. The second ingredient to throw into the mix is that God works in his word. The Spirit of God works through the Word of God. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Sharper than a double-edged sword, it pierces right to the heart. The way that God opens our eyes to Jesus is through the good news message of Jesus. That's probably familiar to many of us. But we see it here again in this story. We see that the Word of God is central to the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. In verse 30, as Philip comes up alongside this chariot on this desert road, he hears the Ethiopian eunuch reading the prophet Isaiah. That's part of the Bible. That's God's word. You can see it in the Old Testament part of our Bibles today. Isaiah was a man of God who spoke the word of God. Hundreds of years before this story actually happened, before the Ethiopian eunuch opened it up. It had happened hundreds of years previously, but Isaiah was speaking about things which were fulfilled. He was pointing towards things that would happen hundreds of years after his own life. And we see the passage that he's reading in verse 32. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Do you notice? How was the Ethiopian eunuch saved? How was he saved? He was saved as he read the Spirit-inspired word of God and understood that it was all about Jesus. You cannot become a follower of Jesus apart from the message of Jesus. The Spirit works through the word. The message of Jesus is central to what it means to be a Christian. A Christian is not someone who it's just a lifestyle choice. Again, these three ladies getting baptized today, it's not just a lifestyle choice. It's not that they've chosen to, I just want to be a nice person. It's not about a certain way of living. It's not about doing religious things or becoming part of a religious community. At the heart of what it means to be a Christian, one of Jesus's people, is to be someone who believes a certain message, a message which is found in this book. And so this book, God's Word, the Bible, and the message found within these two covers, when it's properly understood, when it's faithfully taught, is a necessary ingredient without which no one can be saved. You cannot be saved apart from the Spirit of God. You cannot be saved apart from the Word of God, the message of Jesus. And so as we reach out to others in our community, this is a key thing for us to always remember. I know it's something that we talk about a lot. But actually, discussions are good, debates can be helpful, acts of kindness towards people are important. But as we reach out to others, the word of God, the message of Jesus, must be at the center of what we do, because this is how God works. God works by his Spirit, yes, and in his word. Again, when we hear Karen's testimony later on, we'll hear about how she had loads of questions about the Bible. Maybe some of us can remember in those Sunday streams after the lunch, how we would sit round and she would come up with question after question after question about the things that she was hearing. Vanessa can look back again on many people and many churches throughout the years that who taught her the Bible in various ways, and how that all joined together in her understanding of Jesus and who he is and what he's done for her. Miriam too can chart this growing understanding of the Bible. Those parts of their story are central. They're not just a kind of addition to kind of who they are and what their story is. Those kind of things, those parts of their story are absolutely central to who they are and how they were saved, because this is how God works. God, in his kindness, reveals Jesus in his word. Have you read it for yourself? Are you reading it for yourself on a regular basis? Are you seeking to understand it better and better? It is vital for our life and health. The third ingredient to throw into the mix, and by the way, these ingredients are not separate, they are combined. These three things combine together. It's not like they're kind of, they work apart from one another, they combine together as God brings people to himself. So these three things work together. God works by his Spirit, God works in his word, and God works through his people. This is definitely God's work. He is the one who sets the stage. He is the one who writes the script. But we get a part to play. The third element in the Ethiopian eunuch's salvation story is a human element. Verse 26, it's a guy called Philip. And in verse 26, we see, we're in Acts 8 for anyone who's just joined us. In verse 26, we see that an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." And this is the kind of thing that your sat-nav tells you to do when it's getting a bit confused or it's lost signal. It's a direction that doesn't seem to make any sense. Go down to this desert road, particularly when you look back at chapter 8 and verse 4 and 5, and you see that Philip had been in this city in Samaria. He'd been proclaiming the Messiah there. When the crowds heard and saw the signs that he performed, they paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, impure spirits came out of many. Many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. Many people were there. It says there was great joy in this city as Philip had this dramatic and fruitful ministry. So he's been in this city center, and now the Lord tells him, I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to plonk you in the middle of this desolate, desert, dusty road in the middle of nowhere, population zero. But Philip knows that where we go and who we go to is God's say. He gets to tell us. It's his purposes and his plan. And so he willingly sets off with his eyes and his ears open for the opportunities that the Spirit would bring to him. And because he obeys, therefore he is then in the right place to ask the question in verse 30. Philip ran up to the chariot and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me? I understand the words that I'm reading, but I don't understand the meaning. I need someone to guide me, to lead me. I haven't got the key that will unlock the understanding of this message." And so, verse 31, he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Actually, that word invited is a really strong word. It means he urged Philip, he begged Philip, "I need to understand this good news." God works to bring understanding of his word by his Spirit, and he does that through people, through his people. We are agents in the mission that Jesus is accomplishing. And so the Ethiopian eunuch asks Philip, verse 34, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Philip was in that place to give them the key, give him the key to unlocking the Old Testament, to understanding God's word, in the same way that Jesus had done for his disciples. Do you remember on the Emmaus Road, after Jesus had died and risen again, and Jesus appears with those two disciples, he walks with them, they don't recognize him immediately, but it says that beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And then later on, with the rest of his disciples, it says he opened their minds to understand the scripture. We need Jesus to do this for us. We need Jesus to open our eyes and to open our minds, to give us that key which unlocks the treasures of his word. And often the way that he does that is through his people. And so Philip, he opened the words and he opened his mouth and he explained to this Ethiopian eunuch that sheep you were reading about, the one who was led to the slaughter, the prophet isn't talking about himself, actually. He's talking about someone else. He's talking about the Messiah. And that Messiah is this Jesus who has just lived and died and risen again here in Jerusalem. Philip would open his mouth and explain to the Ethiopian eunuch that this passage that you are reading, this section here from the prophet Isaiah, is from what we have today as Isaiah chapter 53. And just in the verses previously, it explains how Jesus, the Messiah, was the Lamb, the one who would take our sin onto himself, who would suffer the punishment that we deserve, who would die in our place. And Philip would explain to the Ethiopian eunuch that this was good news because it means that we can be forgiven. Philip had the privilege of sharing the good news with the Ethiopian eunuch. That's how God works, to bring people to himself. He uses his people. Occasionally, God can be at work through his word, by his spirit, without the use of his people. Occasionally, it might be that someone comes to faith in Jesus simply as they read the Bible by themselves without any input from another Christian. That can happen occasionally. But most of the time, most ordinarily, God chooses to use us, his people, to draw people to himself, to explain the good news. Again, we will hear this from the ladies as they share their stories today. Miriam, who's arrived. I'm glad that you're here, Miriam. That's good. And Mitko as well. Miriam will talk later on about how she had a Christian friend who first introduced her to Jesus when she was from a Muslim background. She will also tell the story of how she just randomly bumped into Anna, who I'm sure is watching online, outside a cancer clinic not long ago. And that was how we came into contact with Miriam for the first time too. God used those people in her life to draw her to himself. Vanessa will tell about her family and her friends, some of whom will be here in the second service, who repeatedly told her the good news of Jesus and pointed her in the right direction throughout the years as she went off the rails and decided to reject the message as she knew it. Nick was a key part of Karen's testimony. Nick, who's here today. Karen just so happened to be part of this tennis club where Nick was also a member, and they began to meet, and then she started coming along to cafe, and then she started coming along on Sunday afternoons, and then she started coming along on Sunday mornings. God uses people. I'm sure you can look back on your own life as well, and you can see as you think about your own story of how you became a Christian, if you are a Christian today. You can see, I'm sure, certain people. Take a moment now to thank God for those people. Maybe it was one person in particular or a group of people who the Lord used as key people to help you understand the good news of the Lord Jesus. This is how God works. If you're not a Christian, perhaps you can still see that God has put Jesus' people in your life. That's part of the way that he is trying to reveal himself to you. He wants to make himself known to you. This is how God works, by his spirit, through his word, and in his people. And so, verse 36, As they travelled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Baptism is an act of obedience which declares faith in the Lord Jesus. And so the Ethiopian eunuch gets dunked, just in the first bit of water that he sees. No heating either. So no complaints later on, Maryam. We're going to heat this one up a little bit. But the Ethiopian eunuch gets dunked as a display of his faith in the Lord Jesus. He had been saved. He had come to faith because God had been at work by his Spirit, drawing him to himself. He was saved because God was at work by his Spirit through his word, as the Ethiopian eunuch read it in that chariot. And because God is at work through his people, providing Philip to explain when the Ethiopian eunuch did not understand. And for the people being baptized today, for Maryam, for Vanessa, for Karen, it's the same story. For each of them, they will have very different stories. But in each one, you will be able to see these three ingredients coming through. God in his power works in us by his Spirit. God in his kindness reveals Jesus in his words. And God in his wisdom uses his people to explain and to bring people to himself. And so as we, in a few minutes' time, go outside and celebrate these baptisms together, how should we respond to this day of celebration? How should we respond to this part of God's word? Let me suggest three quick ways. The first is to rejoice. Take a look at verse 39. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. New life is a reason to rejoice. Today is a day of celebration, a day of joy. We can rejoice in what God has done for us, for those who are getting baptized, and we can rejoice in the fact that we have a part to play in this wonderful story of new life. Repent. Look at verse 36. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" Have you ever wondered, why did the eunuch want to be baptized? How did he know that that was an appropriate way to respond to the message of Jesus? Well, in verse 35, it says that Philip began with the very passage of Scripture. He began with Isaiah 53 and told him the good news about Jesus. But I think we can safely assume that along the journey he carried on and he told him more. He went beyond what was just said in Isaiah 53. He told them all about what Jesus had done, who he was, how he'd come, how he'd lived, how he died, how he'd risen again. And I'm sure he got to the point that Peter got to in Acts chapter 2, where he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." When you understand the message of Jesus, that is the right way to respond. When God is at work in you by his Spirit, through his word and through his people, there is a call to repent, to be baptized. And you will receive the forgiveness of your sins. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you're not yet a Christian, that's the call for you this morning. To repent. And just like Maryam and Karen and Vanessa have done, to find life in Jesus. To turn away from your sin. To turn away from your old way of life. And to turn to Jesus, knowing forgiveness and the gift of his Holy Spirit. Repent. And the third way to respond is recommit. A baptism like today is a reminder for those of us who are Christians and who have been baptized. It's a reminder of what our own baptism stands for, of that moment, that day where we ourselves stood up and said, "I belong to Jesus and I am committed to Jesus wherever that takes me, whatever he calls me to do." Look at verse 39. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again and went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Like Philip, we too still have work to do. His job wasn't completed, and nor is ours. And so For those of us who are Christians, who are following the Lord Jesus, I hope that today, this baptism, this display of new life and this celebration of what Jesus has done, I hope that will reinvigorate us on the mission that Jesus has called us to be a part of. So I'm going to leave now a moment or two of silence, of quiet, for us to reflect, respond to God's word, and respond in perhaps one or more of these ways up on the screen, to rejoice in what God has done in us, for us, and for the people being baptized today, to repent and to turn to Jesus afresh and to recommit our lives to him. So a moment's quiet, and then we will sing together.